Well, let's turn over in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, book of poetry and the book of wisdom. And I believe that within the Psalms, Psalm number 128 this morning, that we're going to find both of those, poetry and wisdom. I believe that in these Psalms here in this section, I believe there's about 15 of them that begin in Psalm number 120. They're termed as Psalms of Degrees, a Song of Degrees, or a Song of Ascents. And it's speaking of the children of Israel, Hebrew people, would make their journey unto the city of Jerusalem three different times, primarily during the year. Once at the time of Passover, another at the time of Pentecost, and a third time at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we find that they would band together in their tribes and their families, and they would go together unto the city of Jerusalem, and they would sing these songs. And I want to focus this morning on Psalm number 128. I shared with you last week, as long as the Lord leads me in that direction, I want to preach a series of messages on the family. I believe that it's one of the most neglected sometimes areas in preaching. And as I shared with you, I was challenged when I heard an evangelist say that it ought to be required preaching. And I got to examining my own thought process and seeing where that God had led us. And I hope we always go where God leads us. Amen. But God began to prick my heart that I ought to begin a series of messages on the family. And I'm going to pick on the men today. All you women can say amen. But if it hits you, so be it. Amen. But I believe that God has called us as men to be men. Amen. And I want to preach this morning on this thought, man of the house. Man of the house. If you found your place, Psalm number 128, let's stand this morning in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Reading of the Word of God. Psalm 128, unknown exactly whom that the author is. David wrote several of these, and Corinth, I believe, wrote one. But Psalm 128, the author's unknown, but nevertheless, it's in the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says, Psalm number 128, a song of degrees, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." And you may be seated this morning. The man of the house. Now that sounds awful masculine, doesn't it? Some folks believe that once they reach a certain age, that automatically qualifies them to be the man of the house. Drew, he probably thought he'd become the man of the house a few weeks ago when him and Chastity united themselves in holy matrimony. And I believe you did, Brother Drew, to a certain extent. Amen. But we find that the Word of God is going to give clear direction, I believe, unto us this morning as to how to be the man of the house. Now, I don't want to look at it as the world looks at it, because a lot of men think that they become men by how much weight that they can lift. A lot of men think that they're men because of what type of job or what type of title they hold. A lot of men think that they're real men because of all the trophies that they have hanging on their walls and maybe stored away in their trophy case. A lot of folks think they're a man because of what type of stature they have and how they carry themselves. But I don't believe God looks upon a man and considers them a man as the way that He does. I believe God has a specific calling upon us men as Christians to be men in the houses in which we live. Now, I believe that we need to get a mindset as to what God considers to be the man of the house this morning. And I tell you, it's brought conviction upon my own heart and upon my own life. And if you say that you're above and beyond that, preacher, as a preacher of the Word of God, you've got a misinterpretation or a confused mind as to whom a preacher is, because, hey, I'm made of flesh and blood. Amen. I'm no different than you are whenever it comes down to the trials and the temptations and the things that we all face in life. Hey, this old flesh is pretty strong. This old strong will within me wants to go an opposite way of the where that God wants me to go. But my friend, by His mercy and by His grace, I am whom I am, and I will become who God wants me to be. Now, you say, preacher, have you arrived yet? No. And you can ask my wife. She can give you 100% assurance and approval that I've not arrived, Brother Andy. But I tell you, I've studied this Word here this week and read this passage of Scripture, and God showed me some things, and I want to share them with you that we all might line up under God as to see whom that God would have us to be as the man of the house. First of all, we become the man of the house as a priority. As a priority. Hey, we've got to have some priorities in our life if we're going to truly be the man that God wants us to be. Look what the Bible says there in verse 1. He says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Hey, God wants to bless you. God wants to show kindness unto you. God wants to bring happiness unto your home. But my friend, we know that there are many homes across our land today in which we live in the year 2010 that are not happy, that are not fruitful, that are not joyous. There's lots of homes that wake up in turmoil every day. There's lots of families that do not have joy within the walls of their habitation. And I believe that a lot of that falls upon the responsibility of the man, because his priorities ain't necessarily where they ought to be. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us here in verse number 1, the priority for the man of God, the priority for the man that God desires to see in our homes today, in our houses today, in the church of God this morning, in our communities, making up this great country in which we live, are men with priorities. Hey, the Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Now, blessed, there's two different words for blessed in the psalm this morning. First of all, I believe it's the word Asher that we find there in verse number 1 and verse number 2. Which describes strict happiness. Hey, God will bring happiness unto you if you line yourself up under His order, if you allow yourself to fall under His command. Hey, a lot of folks think that they become a man, maybe as I shared a few moments ago, once they get wed and once they unite themselves unto a wife, and boy, they say, I'm going to be the man of the house now. But I'll tell you what, if your priorities don't line up with what God's priorities are, you'll find yourself belittled real quick. You'll find your stature become diminished in the sight of a holy God unless you have priorities as God sees fit for you to have priorities. What is that priority, preacher? He says we need to fear the Lord. Amen. Hey, that's Jehovah God Himself, the true existing One. Brother Andy shared about the cult and about all these different beliefs. I want to tell you this morning, my friend, there's one God. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. My friend, He's the God of this precious Bible that you have in your lap this morning. He's the God that created everything. He's the God that sustains everything. He's the God that saves everything that'll fall under the Lordship and the leadership of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we need to fear Him. Hey, that fearing, as it's speaking of there, speaks of reverence. It speaks of awe. But I believe when we come into God's house, there ought to be a sense of reverence. Hey, there ought to be a sense of awe. Hey, it ought not be some type of a place in which just everybody feels comfortable. Because I'll tell you what, if you've got sin in your life, if you've allowed the world to overrule you this past week, if you faltered and you failed, hey, you ought to walk in the house of God and conviction ought to fall all over you. If it's a place that honors and fears the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, we need to have priority in our life as men of God, that when we wake up in the morning, that we fall on our face, that we humble ourselves at His nail-scarred feet, that we lower ourselves, not just in stature, but also in ego. Hey, we need to let go of that pride. Amen. Some folks say swallow it. I believe God says spit it out. Hey, there's no place for pride in our life. I'm nothing but a sinner. I'm nothing but one that's dirty and nasty. As Isaiah said, as a dirty old leopard rag. That's what I am without Jesus. But because of what Jesus has done for me, I ought to fear Him. I ought to reverence Him. I ought to honor Him. I ought to look unto Him. And my friend, man, if you're going to be the man that God's called you to be, if you'll follow that direction, your family will follow suit. Hey, that woman you have by your side, that one that is looking unto you, she's looking for you to show reverence. She's looking for you to show awe. Hey, you can't show reverence and show awe unto a holy God if you don't darken the house of the Lord. But ever so often, some folks treat God just like tourist season. Oh, they want to come at their own benefit. They want to come when it's leisurely acceptable for them. They want to come whenever it's comfortable for them. And when it fits into their schedule. My friend, you need to make God a priority in your life. Need to make the Word of God a priority in your life. Need to fear Him. Hey, the man of the house is a man as a priority. Hey, the Bible says there, everyone that feareth the Lord. Now, that doesn't exclude the women, amen? It says everyone. He's not really got honing in on the man quite yet. So, ladies, honor God, reverence God, walk in fear and trembling before a holy God. Because He has the ability to give life and He has the ability to take life. Amen? He's God. Hey, the Bible says we ought to fear Him. The Bible says that walketh in His ways. Hey, God will bring joy. God will bring peace. God will bring comfort. God will bring tranquility unto your habitation, into your house, if you'll walk in the way in which God intends on you to walk. But there's so many that don't want to walk His way. They want to walk their way. Oh, don't want to go the course and walk in the manner and the habit of life. I don't want to conduct ourselves as how God would have us to conduct. Hey, we want to look big out there on the workplace. We want to use that same language them old foul people use. Hey, we want to look the same things them old lost people look at. Hey, I'll tell you what, you need to stand up. You need to get yourself some character. You need to knock the lace off your Levi's. Hey, you need to stand up and conduct yourself as a holy man of God. God that walks and fears in His ways. Hey, the man of the house is a man as a priority. You got to have some priorities in your life. And God says first and foremost that you need to fear Him and you need to walk in His ways. That walking means that manner of life. How you live, how you conduct yourself. Need to walk on the old path, amen? Need to walk in the straight and narrow way. Need to walk in the way that's been proven, the way that's been tried. And there's a lot of folks who want to do away with old-time religion. Hey, I'm thankful for the path that's been laid before us that God rooted out in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that was proved true through the days of David, that was proved true through the days of Isaiah. Hey, praise His holy name. Jesus led men in that old path. And it's a path that's led by grace through faith, believing and trusting in God. Amen. Hey, we ought to have a testimony as Enoch had. As men, that everybody would say, he walked with God. That's a priority you ought to have in your life. So we see the man of the house is a man as a priority. He's a man as a provider. Amen. Hey, the Bible says there in verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Now, I want to tell you something. God is the giver of all things. Amen. God is the one that grants you work. God is the one that gives you a body that's physically able to work. God is the God that gives you the means to get to and from work. Amen. And there's a lot of folks say, I'm doing this thing on my own. I'm in control here. I'm the one that does this and I'm the one that does that. I'll tell you what, you couldn't do squat if God didn't allow you to. You couldn't get up out of bed in the morning if God didn't see fit. Hey, you wouldn't be able to have the strength and the help to do what you do if God didn't give that to you by His mercy and by His grace. So we see that God ultimately, He's the true provider. But I want to tell you what, as a man of the house, He's called you to step up the plate and allow yourself to be in a place and to be in a position that you can provide for your family. Now, I'm not one of these that's dogmatic and says that A woman never ought to enter the work field. Hey, me and my wife wouldn't have made it through the first several years of our marriage if God hadn't allowed her to work. But God's just worked it out right now, and I believe it's through His providence that she's supposed to be at home with them youngins at this time and at this stage in their life. So I'm not saying here that women ought not to work, but I want to tell you something, men. I believe that God has commanded the man that he ought to work. There's a lot of folks that don't have enough gumption, don't have enough ambition, don't have enough ability to get that out there and find themselves a job. I'll tell you what, if you're looking, if you're longing, hey, God will provide a way for you to be a provider unto those that are around you. Sometimes you have to belittle yourself a little bit and just do whatever that God provides out there. But the Bible says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands." Eat means to consume, to devour, to feed upon the labor, the toil, the work, the product. Hey, God wants us to be productive people, amen. God wants us to produce some things. And I'm not saying that life is all about material wealth. Life is not all about things. Life is all not about consuming and hoarding up and accumulating our treasures. That's not what life's about. But it's about making a means for our family to survive, making a means for our household to have the joy that God wants to give unto us. And the Bible says right there, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands." And when you allow yourself to fall under a holy God and walk in the way in which He's provided for you, the Bible says there in verse 2, "Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." I'll tell you what, all will be well with your soul when you say, "God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to do it but with the character that I ought to have as a born-again child of the Most High God, and I'm just going to serve You." Hey, God will allow you to be the man of your household as a priority and as a provider. Hey, He says that there's going to be happiness. Amen? You're going to be happy if you allow yourself to follow God's suit and be a provider for your home. Now, I know that there's a lot of folks here that work, praise God. I'm glad that my dad and my granddad, they've worked their whole life. I was brought up with that mentality that you work. Amen. And I believe that's what God will honor, is whenever you work. Hey, the Bible says there, "It shall be happy thou shalt be, and it shall be well with thee. It shall be good, it shall be pleasant, it shall be agreeable." Hey, there's a lot of folks who say, "Well, I can't work. That kind of work just don't agree with me." Or work. Some folks don't think work agrees with them at all. But I'll tell you what, we ought to be people. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen? Hey, we need to be the man of the house as a priority, as a provider. Look in verse 3. We need to be the man of the house as a pillar. A pillar. Now, I'll tell you what, this right here really spoke my heart, Brother Ronnie. The Bible says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." That habitation in which you're dwelling in, that house speaks of your dwelling. It speaks of your shelter. It speaks of your abode. It speaks of a place as containing a family. And I want to tell you what, men, God allowed you to be the man of the house for one thing, and that is to support your wife. Amen. Hey, the Bible, I'm not just talking about physical means. There's a lot of men that say, "Well, I'm going to support, and I'm going to go out here and I'm going to work all this out, and I'm going to do this by the sweat of my brow, and har, 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 I'm a man." But I'll tell you what, God has asked you to be a supporter of your wife. The Bible says right there that she is as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. It's talking about a grapevine. It's talking about that which produces grapes, which in turn produces fruit, which in turn produces that wine that they used that day and time, which in turn was a semblance of abundance and joy. And my friend, the only way that that wife could produce that, the only way that vine could produce that was whenever it was supported. So, men, I'm telling you what, God's called you to be the man of the house as a pillar. And I'll tell you what, that's sometimes hard as men to do, is to be there and to listen and to be open. And sometimes I don't fit that bill all best back on our grinning just a little bit. I sometimes don't. God's still working on me. Amen. Hey, I need to be the man of my house as a supporter, as a listener, as one that's there, that's open and waiting and willing to come to her need, whatever her need might be. Hey, God wants to bless our homes. God wants to bless our families. God wants to bless your community. God wants to bless our church. God wants to bless the United States of America. But the only way that He will truly see blessings upon it is when the family is right, when the men get themselves in proper priority with the desire to provide, but also the desire to be a pillar for that wife that God has given unto us. So we see that we're the man of the house as a pillar to support. But look what it says there. Not only as a pillar, but also as a protector. Do you realize that your wife is looking for somebody to bring protection unto her? Now I begin to think about that. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Now if you want something to truly prosper and truly grow, you don't plant it on the north side. You don't plant it out there where that the wind and the elements that can come along and rob it of its fruit, and rob it of its abundance, and rob it of it being something that God initially intended it to be. No, you put it in a place where it can be shielded from the wind, where it can be shielded from the weather, where you can put it on that south side of that house where that it can get the warmth that it needs off the sunshine coming down and off the radiance of the structure reflecting back upon that vine, that it might grow and that it might be what the Bible says, that it might be as a fruitful vine. God wants our wives to be fruitful. That just ain't talking about an abundance of children. Now, I believe that, you know, God honors a womb. God opens some wombs. God allows some wombs not to be open. God's in control of all that. I'm not putting no criteria on this thing, saying if you'll do all this, God will do this. No, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not that bold. Because I know that God's in charge and He's Creator. He's sovereign. But I'll tell you what, men, if you'll desire to protect your wife, she'll be fruitful. There'll be abundance there. There'll be joy. There'll be peace. There'll be happiness. You have homes in which there's no joy. It's fussing and it's fighting. It's knock down, drag out. My friend, it's because most of the time the man is not being the pillar and the protector that he needs to be. Need to protect her. Need to protect her from all the pestilence. Need to protect her from all the wickedness. Need to protect her from all those others that might come along. Hey, I'll tell you what, if you don't give attention and protection to your wife, there'll be somebody else that'll come along and try to show her that affection. Somebody else that'll come along and try to show her that attention and desire to give her that protection that she is longing for. I can get a big amen from the ladies right there, don't you think? I mean, don't you desire for your man to step up and be a man and support you and to protect you and see to it that you are not invaded and infested with all the rudiments of the world? Hey, God has called us as men to be men. This ain't real easy preaching, is it? It don't taste too good sometimes. But I'll tell you what, I believe it's much needed. Amen? Hey, the Bible says there, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. He says, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Hey, we are the man of the house as a priority, a provider, a pillar, a protector, but also as a partner. God wants us to not be those that lord over our households, although God has given a certain position to the man and the woman. But we looked last week that they're walking side by side. Amen. God took Eve out of Adam's side. He didn't take her from his head, didn't take him from his feet to be trampled under, but God took her from his side that they might walk alongside one by as one. And my friend, God has called us to be a partner unto our wives. Hey, the Bible says, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Now, he's talked about this fruitful vine. Then he talks about this olive plant. Now, that olive tree, you as a man are the father olive. You as a man are the main tree. But it's describing there olive plants. And that word plants right there literally comes out to mean a cutting or a transplant, a shoot or a slip. Something that is produced off of the main vine. My friend, God has called us as men to not be ones that just lord over our wives and lord over our children, but He's called us to come and to walk in this habitation of life as partners along with them. Hey, you need to be a friend, amen, to your wife. You need to be a friend to your children. And I'll tell you what, I have to correct. I've got one that I believe is a strong-willed child. And I don't know if you all can pick which one of them it is out. Really? Oh, but yeah. I've got one that seems to be a little stronger willed than the other. And sometimes you have to bear down and correct a little bit. You know, have to give a good dose of hickory tea. But I'll tell you what, after I give that hickory tea, I make sure and tell them that I love them. Tell them that I care for them and that I want them to understand why they got what they got. It usually doesn't just come right out. I've usually told them four or five times to do not do whatever they're doing or whatever. And then you just have to lay the hammer down, amen? But then tell them you love them. Tell them you care about them. Tell them this is why. I believe that allows them to realize that Daddy is not just warming up my backside just to be warming it up, but that He is doing it for my good, that I might have character, and that I might be a person that might be worthy and honorable in days to come. So we need to come alongside and partner with our children. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number three, He says, "Thy children like olive plants round about thy table." Amen. Hey, it's describing that household that comes together and that household that comes and enjoys a season of good food and enjoys one another's company. Hey, we live in a day and time in which everything's so fast-paced and live in a day and time of TV dinners and live in a day and time where there's a lot of homes that don't sit down and prioritize it, that, hey, you're going to cut the TV off, you're going to do it with the radio, you're going to do it with the iPod, going to do it with the computer, going to do it with separate everything else aside, and we're going to come together as a family and we're going to enjoy a season of food and we're going to talk. Ain't that something? Ain't that a wonderful thing to do in this 21st century? Just talk. Some youngins say, "That's old-fashioned, preacher." I'll tell you what, it'll work, amen? Because you have conversation with your youngins, have conversation with your family. Everybody's on the same page, amen? And you know what's going on. So we need to be the men of the house as a partner, but also as a performer. God's called us to live out what that He's commanded us to do. And the Bible says there in verse number 4, "Behold," that means to look, it means to low, it means to see. Amen. Hey, we need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We need to conduct ourselves in a way and a manner that not only our wife and our children can see, but that others can see around us. But I want to tell you what, it really don't matter what anybody else thinks as long as you know what your wife and your children think, because they know who you are best. And the Bible says there, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Now, we see that first blessed spoke of how that God brings happiness and blessedness. We find that in verse 4, it just speaks of the fact that we're going to be blessed, we're going to be adored by a holy God if we'll allow ourselves to show reverence and honor unto Him, to be a performer of the good things of God. And the Bible says there in verse 5, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." He wants you to see. He wants you to perceive and regard and to observe everything that's from above. All the goodness, the fairness, the beauty, the prosperity of a holy God that He'll bring unto you if you'll allow yourself to say, "God, I'm going to make myself that living sacrifice. God, I'm going to honor You first and foremost. I'm going to honor my wife. I'm going to honor my children. I'm going to be the daddy that God's called me to be. I'm going to be the man of the house." Amen. Put your foot down on that. Say, "I'm going to be the man that God has called me to be." Now, it always ain't easy. Amen. But that's who God's called us to be. And I believe if you'll look unto Him, He'll enable you to have the strength and the power to be what He asked you to be. And the Bible says here in verse number 5, it describes Zion. It describes that holy place, that high hill of Jerusalem. And He says, "Thou shalt see the good of thy heritage." Amen. Hey, that's what they were looking at, Jerusalem. They were looking at that city of David. They were looking at Zion. They were looking at that as being a place in where that they were to long to go. As they were singing that song, walking up that mountain, singing those songs of ascents and those songs of degrees as they were going up there. I believe they were very patriotic people. Amen. Not just throw that in there. You can be the man of the house as a patriot. You say, Preacher, am I supposed to salute Jerusalem and Zion? Well, we don't necessarily live there. I believe we ought to wave that flag of these United States. We ought to wave the Christian flag even higher. Amen. We ought to be a patriot unto the Lord God Almighty, unto Jesus, His only begotten Son, as a recipient of the good things of God, as one that possesses and has the Holy Ghost walking and living and breathing inside of us. Hey, we ought to be people that decide, hey, we're going to be patriotic toward Jesus. Man of the house. As a priority, as a provider, as a pillar, as a protector, as a partner, as a performer, and also as a preserver. God wants us to obtain what we have, to keep what we have, that we might pass on what we have. Amen? Hey, the Bible says there in verse 6, Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Some of you wonder what's going to take place. Now, they say that statistics show that the third generation falls away. That third generation just gets kind of lost out there somewhere along the way. But I'll tell you what, if the man will be the man that God's called him to be, won't grow weary, won't grow tired, won't allow the rudiments and the sinfulness and the wickedness of this world to override him and to keep him from being what God's called him to be, if he'll just allow that plow to get sunk in the furrow and grab a hold of the handles and just keep his eye upon the prize ahead and say, I don't care what comes. I'm going to keep serving Jesus. Going to keep living for Him. Hey, God will allow you to see generations passed on below you to follow God. Amen. There might have been times Papa might have wondered if old Tim was ever going to make it through. But you know what? God was faithful. Amen. The Bible tells us over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22, chapter number 23, wherever it is. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and he shall not depart therein. Now you say, Preacher, I've done my best. That's all you can do. Amen. You do what you can do and let God do the rest. But it has to begin in the heart. It has to begin in the head, saying, I'm going to make a determination to do what God's called me to do, and I'm going to give my heart unto the Lord, and I'm going to serve Him the best way I can, that I might be a preserver, that I might be able to look upon and watch my youngins and my youngins serving Jesus. That they might be telling others about the goodness and the grace of God. That they might be serving in the mission field. Might be going to the jails, going to the highways and the hedges, telling others about Jesus. And that it works. Amen. Jesus saves. And you can be the man that God's called you to be. He says there'll be peace upon Israel. Peace speaks about completeness. It speaks about soundness. It speaks about tranquility. It speaks about contentment. Now, they said their peace upon Israel, but let me ask you, do you want peace on Earl's Road? You want peace in Bryson? You want peace on Lands Creek? You want peace on Toot Holler? You want peace in L.A.? Amen? Do you want contentment and tranquility? Do I want peace on Balsam? Do you want peace in Iron Dove? It comes when you say, God, I'm going to be the man that God's called me to be. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.